This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:05 in the evening. Now, Datuk Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail has been under fire of late, over the last couple of weeks in particular, because of her stand, or, well, lack of, rather, regarding the case of the 41-year-old marrying the 11-year-old girl. Now, Rafizi Ramli has come out in an exclusive interview with the Malay Mail, kind of lambasting all of those people that were giving the Deputy Prime Minister a hard time.
Specifically, he said, just because she wears tudung and she's not your liberal champion, the social activists jump and imply as if she's a Malay conservative who supports underage marriage, and that's not fair on her.
Yep. So essentially, she's been receiving quite a bit of flack from civil society over the way she handled the Kelantan child bride case that you talked about earlier, because no action, as you said, has been taken against the groom so far.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think. I don't know why Rafizi Ramli is speaking on her behalf. I think it's easier to be fair on her if we knew where she stood on the issue. So in the last 3 weeks, we actually haven't got a clear stand from the Deputy Prime Minister. We've had motherhood and fatherhood statements like, oh, well, we're looking into it, the rule of law shall be followed, we're coming up with policy.
We've heard her talk about how a husband and wife needs their privacy.
Correct.
And are entitled to it.
In some ways, though, it's been quite in line with a lot of what we're hearing from the new government, or the government rather, in terms of, well, we have to take into account everybody's sensitivities, and that's why we're not speaking out of hand, that's why we don't want to make strong statements. That seems to be something that is a bit of a fallback position.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know if you've got to take into consideration the sensitivities of a 41-year-old who marries an 11-year-old, but apparently that's where we are right now. And what I find particularly interesting about Rafizi's statement, of course, is, you know, this is on the heels of the upcoming PKR election, right? And so that is a very... I guess that is a factor that needs to be paid attention to, because it's Rafizi versus Azmin. Mm-hmm. And so there's a politic at play as well, because they're going to head-to-head on that level. And it's also important to note that, I guess, politically, Datuk Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail and Azmin Ali haven't necessarily been the closest political allies.
So what exactly is this message that he's sending out? He has essentially said, though, of Wan Azizah, that the idea with PKR is to have it balanced and bring everyone to the moderate centre. The moderate centre behaves like Wan Azizah. It does not behave like a very vocal social activist who want outright political condemnation.
I think the moderate centre... I disagree with Rafizi on this one. I think the moderate centre would be against child marriage as well.
I think most people are against child marriage.
Yeah, I don't think you have to go to the moderate centre.
Correct.
I think
correct.
On both sides of the divide.
Yes. I mean, this should be an easy one to settle on.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, because we're dealing with politicians, and also we're dealing with our first female deputy prime minister and all of the baggage that comes with that. So the expectation on her to speak out on these sorts of issues is there, and we haven't got anything left. So there's nothing to go by, right?
Yes, and perhaps as he's alluding to here, how she presents herself in terms of how she looks, how she behaves, that kind of thing becomes something that people examine when they don't have a strong policy statement to look to.
Correct. After this, we're going to be speaking to Angela Kugadas, Executive Director of Empower, and you know, she's going to tell us her thoughts on appearances and conservatism. That's coming your way after Duffy Mercy on BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
Caroline, Lynn and Uma with you on the evening edition at 6:14. We've been talking about an interview that Rafizi Ramli gave to the Malay Mail Online, in which he lambasted ultra-liberals for judging Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail based on her appearance alone. Now, we're going to hear from the perspective of Angela Kugadas, Executive Director of Empower. They're an organization that works on political equality for women. Angela, it's great to have you with us again. What's your take on Rafizi's statement? Do you think that people's expectations of Wan Azizah, especially with regards to the child marriage case, colored by her background and appearance, you know, as a public figure who's a Muslim woman wearing the tudung?
First, I really think that Wan Azizah is, you know, attempting to do what is best, but it is not prompt enough in the sense that first, when it came to the case of the child marriage of the 11-year-old with the 41-year-old, there's already a law in place, right? The Sexual Offences Against Children Act, 2017. And so in that particular case, action should have been taken already, because clearly already acknowledged even by the man himself that he was interested in her since she was, you know, what, 7 or 9 years old? So 2 years before, right? So, you know, action can already be taken. So that's one thing, yeah? People are a bit aghast about, you know, how slow the government is acting on this case when there's already a law in place and sexual grooming was very clear. The other issue, of course, is the broader issue of underage marriage or child marriage, which, you know, there's some estimation of about 150,000, right, that's taking place in Malaysia. And that's actually a public health issue. So as a, I would think as someone who's a qualified doctor, you know, she would understand that it's actually a public health issue. And I understand that there are, you know, all these other issues that she may have to think about in terms of, you know, the fact that Islam is legislated at the state level. But at the same time, because it's a public health issue, it is actually a federal issue. So as the Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, she actually has, you know, every right to push through and fulfill also the promise of Pakatan Harapan, which is in the manifesto. So obviously, you know, they would have done their research in developing this manifesto, you know, in saying that they wanted to raise the level of consent for marriage to the age of 18, you see.
Angela, as a member of the general public or, you know, of civil society, do you think it's when we're pushing through what the causes that we feel are important, is it important also to consider the pressures that our ministers may be going through?
I think as a Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, you know, Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Aziza, she has a responsibility to look after the welfare of all. So, you know, so that's why I raise it as a child, not only a child rights issue, but also a public health matter. So that needs to be prioritized above anything else. You know, it would be the same for any other issues, whether you're in charge of housing or sanitation or whatever, right? So, you know, you have to look after, you know, the welfare of all, including those who are oppressed and marginalized. So for us, in terms of civil society, we will, of course, have to push if government is taking too long to act, you know, because there are people who are vulnerable, who are at stake, you know, in terms of their situation. They can be exposed, you know, to even more exploitation and so on, you see. So we will, of course, as civil society, we would be pushing on our end, you know, in terms of getting at least proper redress or seeking a more effective solution to the issue.
Right, Angela. So personally, what do you expect from Wan Aziza as a minister?
I think as a minister, there has to be some form of decisiveness. There has to be some form of leadership where you are very clear about your role and responsibility. So that clarity, I think, is something that a lot of us feel like she hasn't achieved that yet, you know, because that decisiveness in terms of knowing clearly, because for Pakatan Harapan, even to put it as a promise in the manifesto, right, and then to sort of flip-flop on it, it means that you either didn't do the research or you're sort of like trying to seek some kind of popularity, you know, stance, because maybe you're worried about the next general elections. But, you know, for the first 5 years, you know, you shouldn't be worrying about the next general elections. You should be, you know, acting as the minister and doing what is necessary in order to push ahead. So I think that's where a lot of the frustrations are for civil society. And it could be that media has selectively reported on what she said. But, you know, for the rest of us who are outside and hearing the kinds of statements that she makes, because at one point, you know, she'll say like, you know, there shouldn't be child marriage. And then at another point, she'll say like, oh, you know, we need to look at all angles and things like that. So that is where the problem is as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Angela, for chiming in on this. That was Angela Kugadas, Executive Director of Empower. Now, do you think that we actually judge the actions of ministers and politicians upon their backgrounds and appearances? You can call us on 0377 109000 for your thoughts on the matter. Join the conversation right here on the Evening Edition. But first, here is Blur with Beetlebum on BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it's the Evening Edition. Caroline, Lynn and Uma with you. 0377 109000 is the number to call to talk back. We're asking you today whether we Malaysians judge our politicians based on their appearance and what they wear. We've got Sarah on the line. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Thank you so much for holding. What do you think? Is that something we do?
I think it's something that we do, yes. Mm. But I think that we shouldn't do that at all. Although, however, I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter mm-hmm. saying that they're talking more about Dr. Wan Azizah's experience in politics rather than the clothing and how she looks like. So I think we should focus on that. And I think a lot of people expect from her too much because they're just starting. And obviously, she does not have a lot of experience before this. And she needs to adapt, I think. Hmm. And also, regarding the 41-year-old marrying an 11-year-old, it actually is a different issue, in my opinion, from the consent age of marriage. Of course, that is an issue that we should consider. But if you're talking about sexual offences, that's a criminal issue already. And the person or the mm-hmm. the government body that should step in is the AG department or the police department. It's not the Prime Minister department, in my opinion.
All right, Sarah. Yeah, those are all absolutely valid points. Thank you so much for calling. And actually, that's a question we've been asking for the longest time, as in why aren't the AG and the police stepping in with regards to this issue, right?
Yep, you're robbing a child of, a good opportunity of life, really.
Of a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Shakib on the line. Hey, Shakib, thank you for holding. What are your thoughts on the matter? Are we too judgmental?
First off, I just want to put out a disclaimer. I just want to make it clear that I think the issue should rely most on the policy. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it reflects on the PR image of Wan Azizah, I think that's prejudice that exists in Malaysia, mm-hmm. regardless of how much we try to mitigate it. So
right.
I don't want to discuss that. I want to reflect to the recent interview that Melissa did with the Ketua Pemuda UMNO on BFM Grill.
Yes, that's right.
He made it very clear when it came to this issue, we need to look at several aspects, which I think is being echoed by Dr. Wan Azizah. And I reflect back at the policy, mm-hmm. we fail to realise that, first off, this is a state matter, yep. a Kelantan state matter, because why the marriage involves two Kelantanists? And most importantly...
One Kelantanese and a Thai individual,
yeah.
a Thai national.
One Kelantanese and a Thai national, okay.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Islamic marriages, for that matter, is a state matter under the Jabatan Mufti. This is already entrenched in the federal constitution in Schedule 2, the highest law of the land.
Sure.
Which means... as a federal cabinet minister, there's only so much you can do within your powers, number one. Number two, in Islamic law, there's already two safeguards that exist. Number one, the wali, the person that will... The representative of the bride that will get married.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, the Sharia courts. And
yes.
this is already entrenched in the Kelantan Sharia enactment. So, because generally, when a particular marriage happens outside of Malaysia, number one, mm-hmm. it's already outside of the jurisdiction of the Kelantanese government. No state mufti can do anything until and unless you try to register it in Malaysia. So, when they try to register in Malaysia, it's not going to happen. Why? Because
correct.
The two safeguards are not complied with.
Yeah.
So, I think I would absolutely disagree with the comments coming from the NGO representative in Empower. Because first off, I think research needs to be done on the matter of policy. And when you look at the policy, there is a limitation as to how much a federal minister can actually exercise her or his powers.
But I think the line also was that not enough was done because, like you said, both of those Islamic tenets were broken.
Exactly. So when those both Islamic tenets are broken, it's unfair to say that the Malaysian government or institutions or anything with regard to protecting child marriages are not enough to ensure that it doesn't happen, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to sexual offences, first off, I would have to make it clear, like the previous caller said, it's a criminal act, So there needs, first off, if there was really some sort of concern in terms of the bride feeling inferior because, you know, she feels like she's trapped.
Sure.
Then the family member, being a responsible family member, would have to make sure they do lodge a police report, and then subsequent investigations and action should be carried out. And,
right, Shakib, sorry, we have to go to the news, Shakib. If you stay on the line, we'll pick up with our conversation afterwards. This is the Evening Edition. Here is the news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.